This is Radio Superior 1940, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes station, KUWS. It's Thursday, a sunny, warm 4th of July, 1940. This is Jack McKenna saying happy birthday, Uncle Sam. Lou Martin has the 6 o'clock news. Harriet Feurig will be in with the community news. We'll have the rundown on all the fireworks and picnics. And we'll have the story about a 300-year-old cane donated to the Superior Museum. That's older than you, Lou.
Your humor is getting predictable.
The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Berthiums, where you can get a cherry pie for 15 cents and fresh cinnamon-raised bread for just 14 cents a loaf. Mm-mm. Berthiums Grocery. Buy quality and it costs no more. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. A naval battle in Oran, Algeria, is pitting the British fleet against the French fleet. We begin our World Shortwave Radio Roundup with Alfred M. Schock in neutral Switzerland.
This is Geneva, Alfred M. Schock speaking. Two former allies opened fire in a great naval battle at the North African port of Oran today. That's where much of the mighty French fleet is docked since last month's surrender to Nazi Germany. The Pétain government ordered his French fleet to fight their way home from Algeria, but it appears that order is too late. This is what we have learned so far. Led by Her Majesty's ship Hood, the French fleet was blockaded at Oran. They were given a six-hour ultimatum to either scuttle their warships or surrender them to the British. They refused the ultimatum, and the British opened fire. Among the trapped ships were the battleships Dunkirk and Strasbourg. French leader Marshal Pétain called the action more odious because it was by our former ally. He has ordered all French ships to fight if attacked by British ships and to capture all British merchant ships. In Geneva, this is Alfred M. Schock calling the British Isles. Come in, London.
London calling, Webb Miller reporting. A large proportion of the French fleet has passed into British hands and put out of action or withheld from Germany. Prime Minister Winston Churchill told the House of Commons today that the clash at the North African port of Oran will give Britain naval superiority of the Mediterranean. Commenting on the loss of life in a stirring speech, the Prime Minister said, quoting now, "I fear the loss of life among the French and in the harbor must have been heavy. We were compelled to use very severe measures and immense explosions were observed," unquote. Minister Churchill told the tense listening house that the French fought with the characteristic courage of the French Navy. Meanwhile, two French battleships, two light cruisers, eight destroyers, some submarines, and 200 mine-sweeping vessels have been taken by the British Navy. Included in the ships destroyed are the Dunkirk and the Strasbourg. In London, this is Webb Miller calling Vichy, France. Come in, Harrison, Salisbury.
This is Vichy, France. Harrison Salisbury speaking. France will break diplomatic relations with Britain. Foreign Minister Paul Baudouin says the naval attack at Oran was like shooting rabbits in a pen. Baudouin bitterly attacked Prime Minister Winston Churchill for ordering the action. He says it struck at the heart of France. Baudouin notified U.S. Ambassador to France William Bullitt that the anti-British feeling now in France should not be interpreted as anti-American. He told Ambassador Bullitt that there is nothing that can break the friendship with France, even though the ancient ties with Britain have been broken. In Vichy, France, this is Harrison Salisbury calling Berlin. Come in, Max Jordan.
This is the Third Reich, Max Jordan here. The German High Command has announced that a new British aircraft carrier has been sunk by U-boat torpedoes. The Illustrious is the third British aircraft carrier to be sunk since the war began last September. The Illustrious normally has a contingent of 1,800 souls on board. Jane's Fighting Ships Manual says the Illustrious was built in April of 1939, 753 feet long, and is one of six ships built in her class. The carrier Courageous was sunk early in the war, while the carrier Glorious was sunk recently in a battle with the German battleship Scharnhorst. also in what may be a prelude to what is expected to be the Battle of Britain, the Nazi High Command has announced German Luftwaffe air attacks on English coastal defenses and an airplane factory in Reading. British air attacks on Germany continued today against suburbs of Birkbeck and Hamburg. The High Command reports 11 children and 9 women killed. In Berlin, this is Max Jordan reporting, calling New York. Come in, Westbrook Pegler.
This is your reporter, Westbrook Pegler, with the president in Hyde Park. During this time of bloody warfare in Europe and a massive military buildup in America, President Roosevelt listed 5 essentials to peace. In his 4th of July address to the nation, he listed 5 objectives which must be realized before peace is assured. First, freedom from fear, which means disarmament. Second, freedom of information. Mr. Roosevelt asserted that the whole country must be able to get news of what is going on at home and abroad without censorship. He says that means more than freedom of the press, but also of every way to distribute information. Without that, the world cannot be stable. Freedom of religion. FDR says that's working well at home, but not in Nazi Germany or Soviet Russia. Freedom of expression. People must be able to voice their opinions as long as it's not to advocate overthrow of the government. And finally, freedom from want. If that is accomplished, then cultural and commercial barriers will be removed among the nations. The president also called for national unity in this troubled year of 1940. He called upon people to forever banish thoughts of racial hatred and religious bigotry. With the president in Hyde Park, New York, this is Westbrook Pegler speaking.
In Romania, a new Nazi fascist regime has taken over. Ion Gherghiuti succeeds the pro-Allied government, which resigned this morning. Romanian King Carol II will now take a back seat, much like King Emmanuel is doing in Italy. The Senate Naval Affairs Committee has voted 9-5 to recommend Colonel Frank Knox as the new Naval Secretary. Colonel Knox was the vice presidential nominee of Alf Landon in 1936. He was chosen by President Roosevelt in a bipartisan effort to strengthen the U.S. military. The Naval Committee also approved a $4 billion expansion of the Navy. Although Mr. Roosevelt has given no indication that he'll run for an unprecedented third term, people in high Democratic circles say that it's clear that he will accept his party's nomination at this month's convention in Chicago. Those same sources say that Vice President John Nance Garner will be dumped from the ticket in favor of Secretary of State Cordell Hull. Newly appointed Republican presidential candidate Wendell Willkie caused a stir in New York last night. The popular Mr. Willkie and his wife were at the Broadway comedy Life with Father. When they walked in, they nearly stopped the show as people rose to their feet to applaud. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Jack McKenna has these words from our sponsor.
Thank you, Lou. Thank you very much. And I'll thank you folks to listen closely now, because I've got some specials from Berthium's that'll have you running down in the next half hour. Food specials Friday and Saturday. Now, for you beer drinkers, listen to this. Northern Beer, hometown beer, 24-pint case, $1.79. How about that? But wait, don't leave yet. Wait for the rest of the announcements here on pork tenderloins, for example. Fresh, per pound, 29 cents. Can you believe this? Sun-kissed oranges, medium size, a dozen, 28 cents. And in the peck size for juice, just 75 cents for that peck of oranges. Head of lettuce, large, 2 for 17 cents. It gets better and better, folks. Strawberries, Bayfield grown, that's local. 3 full quarts, top quality, no seconds, 25 cents for 3 quarts of Bayfield strawberries. Oh, boy. It's a great sale Friday and Saturday at Berthium's in Superior. Boy, that's a pretty good list by FDR. Freedom from fear and want, freedom of speech and religion.
And freedom of expression. That's the president's hope for a better day, which isn't today, I'm afraid. The remains of the lone man missing since the Hotel Superior fire have been found. KUWS Radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
Fire Chief James Sweeney figured all along that 70-year-old Matt Riley didn't make it out of the Hotel Superior alive when it burned down a couple of weeks ago. Today, Chief Sweeney's been proven right. Buried under a pile of debris are the remains of the retired railroad engineer. For those who are faint of heart, it may be best to cover your ears now. The lower part of Mr. Riley's body was burned away, but the upper half was preserved. In fact, his wallet was untouched by fire, allowing Coroner Herbert Smith an easy identification. His body was found two stories below his room, surrounded by bathroom fixtures, so he probably took refuge in his bathroom, hoping to escape the flames. People speculated that he fled the hotel, only to return for his watch, but Coroner Smith says it's unlikely he ever left his room. Hotel engineer Herman Hockey says Mr. Riley's room was only 12 feet from a fire escape. The body was found by county welfare workers Martin Rustad and John Myers. The body was removed to LeSage Funeral Home, pending funeral arrangements, Lou.
Congressman Barney German says the new $5 billion United States defense program should mean business for Superior's long-shuttered shipyards. Mr. German is talking to Maritime Commission Admiral Emery Land about landing shipbuilding contracts for Superior. Superior had three shipyards operating during the World War, and Mr. German says there are hundreds of experienced but unemployed workers available right here. The University of Wisconsin's Board of Regents may oppose Governor Julius Heil's demand for a house cleaning of subversives among students and faculty. Capitol reporter John Paul reports from Madison.
Governor Heil says he wants to fingerprint all suspected campus communists and remove all Nazi, fascist, and communist influence at the University of Wisconsin. Board of Regents President A.J. Glover of Fort Atkinson says he'll call a special meeting of the regents and recommend they refuse the governor's request. Mr. Glover, a Farm Magazine editor, and all of the regents were appointed by the Republican governor. Governor Heil says it's advisable to, we quote now, eliminate obnoxious minds from entering our university and by chance infesting the pure minds who love their America and their Constitution and their flag, end quote. The governor will also make a similar request to the Normal School Board of Regents. In Madison, this is John Powell speaking.
Passenger boat service between Buffalo and the Twin Ports opened for the season with the arrival of the steamer Alabama yesterday. The Alabama has plied the waters of the Great Lakes for several years and is moored at Dock Number 4 on the 7th Avenue West Pier in Duluth. And finally, Jack, kiddies around 21st and Tower got quite a treat on this 4th of July. The fun came at the expense of Louis Landon when his fireworks stand caught fire.
Whoa!
That must have been something to see.
I bet he had them all. Skyrockets, Bertha's Busters, Roman candles, flares, and sparklers all going off at once.
I can see
Whoa,
that you're up.
Boy.
You're up on your fireworks, certainly.
I can see it now. Boom.
The special effects are helpful. Thank you, Jack. Anyway, the show was over by the time the fire department arrived. No one was hurt.
I bet there was lots of ducking and running, though.
Mr. Landon tallied his losses, about $50 worth of fireworks and $100 lost to the building.
Boy, I would have liked to see that fireworks stand go up. Ooh, I mean, it's a shame. Oh, it's a shame for Mr. Landon, of course.
It's good to see such genuine sympathy from you.
Okay, friends, let's check the weather for this 4th of July, 1940, and then we'll get to the music and all the other stuff we have for you tonight. It'll be fair and warm over the light wind tonight and tomorrow. Today's high was 78. Tomorrow's high will be around 80, with lots and lots of sunshine. On with the music. Let's celebrate Uncle Sam's birthday. Here's Benny Goodman and Stompin' at the Savoy on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Thank you.
Now, there's a good one from Benny Goodman and his orchestra, Stompin' at the Savoy on station KUWS. Nothing says 4th of July better than a doubleheader at the old ballpark, eh, Lou?
The Superior Blues are now tied for first place in the Northern League.
They've been in first place most of the season. But our ace pitcher, Chief Ernie Youngblood, got shellacked by those bad old Duluth Dukes last night.
Today's doubleheader is already underway at Athletic Park in Duluth. Then both teams will head to Superior and play the night game at Municipal Stadium at 8:30.
Head on out to Muni Stadium, folks. Tickets are just 30 cents for the bleacher seats. Lou's favorite.
There's nothing wrong with being frugal.
So we'll see you in the cheap seats tonight. On with the music, friends. Here's Louis Armstrong and a number called the WPA on the Martin and McKenna Cheap Seat program.
Now wake up, boys. Get out on the rock. It ain't daybreak, but it's 4 o'clock.
Oh, no, 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 Pops. You know that ain't the play.
What you talking about? It's the WPA.
Oh, the WPA.
Now, I said that.
WPA. Sleep while you work, while you rest, while you play. Lean on your shovel to pass the time away. Tain't what you do, you can jive for your pay.
Where's that?
The WPA. WBA.
Now don't be a fool, working hard is passe. You'll stand from 5 to 6 hours a day. Sit down and joke while you smoke. It's okay. The WBA.
I'm so tired, don't know what to do. Can't get fired, so I'll take my rest until my work is through. WBA. Don't mind the boss if he's cross when you're gay. He'll get a pink slip next month anyway. 3 little letters that make life okay. WBA. I'm so tired, don't know what to do. Can't get fired, so I take my rest till my work is through.
WPA. Don't mind the boss if he's cross when you're gay. You'll get a pink slip next month anyway. 3 little letters that makes life okay.
WPA. WPA.
Hey, that's a new one from Satchmo himself. Louis Armstrong, and a little help from the Mills Brothers, eh? WPA, we poke along on station KUWS. Hiya, Lou.
Let me introduce Douglas County Historical Society Museum Curator, Gerald Stowe.
This guy again.
Good evening, Mr. Stowe. I understand that you have a new exhibit from a recent find on the Brule River.
Yes, very, very interesting. It's an ancient Chippewa dugout canoe. Oh, it's hard to find relics like this.
The canoe is pretty well preserved, I understand.
Yes, well preserved. Remarkable, really. Mr. J.R. Jacobson was fishing on the Brule River. The water level is low this year, you know. And he saw this strange piece of wood protruding from the sand. Yes. He carefully uncovered it and brought it to the museum. It's perfectly preserved. It must be 300 years old.
He'd better not start remembering back to 1640.
300 years old. So that's a couple of decades before white men explored the area.
Yes, at least that we know of. These dugout canoes were ingenious. We'd select a large grained cedar tree and burn it at the bottom, yes.
Weed?
Yes, of course. Then we'd burn the other end to the length we'd wanted. Then, this is so resourceful, they'd put hot coals on the log until it was hollowed out. Then we'd watch it closely so it wouldn't burn through. Then they'd use axes to chop out the charred wood.
It's on display now at the museum?
Yes.
Mr. Gerald Stowe, curator of the Douglas County Historical Society Museum.
Yes, where old things come alive. That's our motto. Good night.
That's a good motto for the museum. Good night.
Let's hear more from our musical collection, good listeners. This is from 1930. An old thing that comes alive. Vincent Lopez and Sunshine on the Martin and McKenna Show on Station KUWS. That's Vincent Lopez and his hit Sunshine from 1930. I don't mind saying that there's something different about that museum guy.
I like him. He's smart, dedicated, enthusiastic.
Oh, I'm not saying he's a bad guy or anything. He just seems to remember things that he shouldn't remember.
Well, that's what some curators do. It makes history more real for them if they imagine they've been there.
He sure does a good job of that.
We do this. We do that.
Kind of creeps me out.
Just think of that baseball game tonight and hot dogs and fireworks.
With lots of onions and sauerkraut and relish. Oh, I love baseball.
Let me introduce community editor Harriet Feurig. I hope that you'll come along to the ball game with us.
Against our archenemy, the Duluth Dukes? I'll tag along. Many people are making their annual trek to their summer cottages and resorts. Some left yesterday afternoon. There'll be fireworks celebrations all over, including at Lake Nabagaman tonight. They had their Independence Day dance last night and will have a picnic followed by fireworks tonight. Solon Springs had their dance last night, too. Today, they had baseball games and gunny sack races and watermelon. Ashland had a parade today, followed by an Americanism program and fireworks tonight. Chautauqua will have races and games for kids while adults enjoy horseshoe pitching, softball, and trap shooting. Then they'll have a band concert, followed by fireworks.
Oh, Chautauqua has it all.
You wouldn't like it. No watermelon wrestling.
Danbury is starting its four-day weekend program with a carnival and fireworks tonight. Drummond has its 4th of July dance. Port Wing has a variety of athletic contests and fireworks. Plus, they put on a good fish feed. And I'd just like to say happy birthday to Garner Hadland of Bayfield. He just had a big 11th birthday party put on by his mother, Mrs. Irving Hadland, and best friend, Kermit Hansen.
Thank you, Harriet Feurig. You're always Miss Americana in my book.
You'll have to do better than that, Lou. On with the music, then, friends. Here's a snappy number, perfect for the 4th of July. This is Glenn Miller and his orchestra and his hit from last year, In the Mood, on the Martin and McKenna Show. to put all of us in the mood. That was Glenn Miller and his orchestra on Uncle Sam's 164th birthday.
You know, Jack and Louis, I was very moved by what the president said today. We are lucky to live in this land of freedom.
It's important to be united, even though we may have differences of opinion.
Hey, it's those differences of opinion that make us what we are. Take that museum curator, Mr. Stowe.
Yeah, he's different, all right. But I like him.
He could use a tan or something, though.
Boys, I'm talking about what Mr. Roosevelt said about the five essentials to a permanent peace. Freedom from fear, for instance. That's important to live without fear. And freedom from want. If somehow we can make it so people have enough food and a roof over their heads, then maybe we'd have fewer dictators and less war.
Freedom of religion, too. Let people practice what they believe.
Freedom of expression and freedom of information. No secrets, no tricks, no propaganda. You're right, Harriet. I hope people remember the president's speech today.
I feel so profound now. Maybe I'll skip this sauerkraut.
No need to do something drastic like that. Just figure it's your freedom of expression.
Heaven knows we wouldn't want you to forego your freedom of want.
Of course, there's that freedom from fear of what those things do to your system about 2 hours after you've eaten them.
I'm afraid that's when the fireworks display starts.
Ah, you can say that again. Stay tuned for Kaltenborn Edits the News, the Aldrich Family, and the Fred Waring Hour. For us, well, we'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial. The good Lord willing, and the only fireworks is in the sky. For Lou Martin and Harriet Farrig, then, this is Jack McKenna wishing you all good night.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1940, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Farrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, Duke Skorich, John Munsell. All events reported on Radio Superior 1940 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this same time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.